ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। हरि ओम् एवरीबडि। चित्रा, यु बैक्? यु बैक् फ्रोम् शिकागो? ओके, एण्ड् सो इस् लीला। ऐ सी लीला शर्मा बैक् फ्रोम् इण्डिया। ओके, we must remember how the chapter started. It started with a question by Arjun, and the question was triggered because of the last two verses from chapter 16, where Bhagwan said that the one who has knowledge of the scriptures but has no faith in them and just doing things without having faith does not get material prosperity as well as spiritual evolution. Therefore, the last verse ended beginning with tasmat. Yes, therefore, he says that the one, you must have knowledge and you also must have faith. The one who has both knowledge and faith will get material prosperity as well as spiritual emancipation. But now Arjun has a question about a third type of person, and that's why he asks. He says, yes Bhagwan, okay, these are two types of people, both know the scriptures, one does not have faith, one has faith, and I can understand what their end will be. But then there are people who do not have knowledge of the scriptures but have extreme faith. Where do they stand? And so that is the discussion in this chapter, faith versus knowledge. What is superior? As usual, Bhagwan's style, he doesn't give a direct answer, but he goes on to explain what faith is, saying that you bring it at the time of birth. It is not something that is cultivated, but you have brought a certain amount of mental tendency, which is sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, and according to that tendency is the person's faith. And so he went on to explain food can also be sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic, and then yajna, dana, tapa. We saw the details of what a sattvic yajna is, sattvic dana is, what a rajasic yajna, dana, tapa is, what tamasic is. And now Bhagwan is going to answer that initial question. So in 24 we saw this. He says, therefore, the we saw 23, we're going to start with 24. He says, understand that Om, Tat, and Sat are the three names of Brahman. This is what he's saying. Brahmanastena Vedasya Yajnasya Vihita Puraha. Formerly, Om Tat Sat. This has been declared to be the triple designation of Brahman. Means these are the three names. And by that were created formerly the Brahmanas, the Vedas, and the sacrifices. So these three words represent Brahman. And now he's going, and I explained a little bit, but now he's going to go and explain. So I'm going to do 24, 25, and 26 together because they kind of go hand in hand. तस्माद्दो मृत्युदार्युत यज्ञदान तपक्रियाः प्रवर्तन्ते विधानोक्ताः सततं ब्रह्मवादिनां. Therefore, why therefore? Those are the three names of Brahman. Therefore, with the utterance of Om are begun the acts of sacrifice, gifts, and austerity as enjoined in the scriptures, always by the students of Brahman. Okay, so just superficial meaning, those are the three names, and therefore, those who are seekers of Brahman, they start the yajna, dana, and tapa, everything with these three words. Om Tat Sat, and then do dana, do yajna, do this thing. Now next.
Tadityanabhibhisandhaya falam yajna tapakriyaha dana kriyascha vividaha kriyante moksha kangshibihi.
Uttering tat without aiming at the fruits are the acts of sacrifice and austerity and the various acts of gift performed by the seekers of liberation, mumukshubihi, one who seeks liberation. What he does is he utters tat and without aiming at the fruits. So this person is sattvic. That has to be, that point has to be remembered here. The one who is not aiming at any kind of external fruit is a sattvic person. If the person was aiming at an external fruit, it's rajas. So this we are talking, mumukshubhi means he is sattvic. If he's seeking liberation, he is a sattvic person. And he utters tat while doing sacrifice, austerity, and gift. So sacrifice is yajna, dana, and tapa. So austerity is tapa, yajna is sacrifice, and acts of gift, various acts of gift is dana. So while doing these three, he utters tat. Okay, now next. Then we are going to see all this, whatever it means together.
Sadbhave sadubhave, sadbhave sadubhave cha, sadittetya prayujyate, prashaste karmani tatha, satshabda partha yujyate.
The word sat is used in the sense of reality and of goodness. And also, O Partha, the word sat is used in the sense of an auspicious act. So all three words, few points to be remembered. The first point to be remembered is all three words mean the same thing. They mean Brahman. So whether you say Om or you say Tat or you say Sat, you are referring to Brahman. Number one point. Now what is happening is when you say Om or Tat or Sat while you're doing Yajna. So there is Yajna, there is Dana, and there is Tapa. Okay? Three things. Bhagavan talked about it. How Tapa can be Yajna, Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic. All three can be Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic. Now we are coming to those type of people who are Sattvic. Because a Rajasic person is not going to do this. Because there is always the eyes on the external fruit. So a sattvic, because mumukshubhi also is used. Bhagavan has used the words brahmavadinam, satatam brahmavadinam. So those who are the students of Brahman, those who are seekers of liberation, obviously it indicates a sattvic bent of mind. Okay. So when they utter Om while doing yajna, what happens is, and okay, now they are uttering Om, obviously they have faith. One thing is they know that Om is Brahman and they also have faith. Why would they utter Om if they don't have faith? So that also is to be understood. When we utter Om before doing any yajna, sacrifice, karma is purified. This is what Bhagavan is saying here in these three combined verses. What is the meaning of karma is purified? Because yajna is sacrifice, is an act, is karma. Karma purified means the bondage of karma is not, that karma doesn't bind him. Bondage is negated. Bhagavan is saying, Bhagavan Shri Krishna is saying that just by uttering Om before doing any action, the bondage of that action is not binding you. That is meant by karma is purified. But what was the meaning of karma being purified? Impure karma, when we do it with doership, is considered impure. Not, we can do, see, we can do great acts of charity also, but if we have doership, that karma is impure because it is binding me, just creating a vasana for me, for my next birth. So when I say om and do it, and without the external result in mind, okay, then that karma is purified. Okay. Next, dana. When I say om or tat or sat, because all three words mean the same thing. So the easiest actually is to say om. Like I've always told you, anything you begin with, you say om. You don't have to say tat and sat. Om is enough. Because om is the universal sound, primordial sound it is. It includes all the three state, o and ma, waking, dream, and deep sleep state. And om, the silence after the om is turiya. So it actually represents the Parabrahma, om. So when you say om before doing dana, charity, what is dana meant for? I told you, dana is meant for renunciation of ownership. What I'm doing in dana is I renounce my own ownership of that object and I give it. Though in my mind, I have devalued it for myself, but I have still maintained the value for the other person. But this is the first step going into tyaga, where everything will be devalued. So dana, when you do saying om, you do it for the sake of the Lord. Yajna, when you do saying om, do for the Lord. Karma, we said, karma to convert into karma yoga, we have to do it for the Lord. So yajna, saying om, you are doing it for the Lord. Dana, you're giving for the sake of the Lord. Om. And that dana then, when it gets purified, intentions of the giver are purified when he says om before doing any dana. When he thinks of the Lord, om, saying om means, is thinking of the Lord. Okay? And this om is said, not Rama or Krishna or any known name is not used. Form is false. So it's not the name, but you are thinking of the pure consciousness. Om Tat Sat are the names of the pure consciousness. They're not names of Sri Krishna's another name, Sri Rama's another name. It is not like that. Om Tat Sat. Okay. So when dana is done, intentions get purified. And when you're giving it for the sake of the Lord, when you're doing dana for the sake of the Lord, then your ownership is being given up, ownership of that thing, of whatever that you're giving. Then tapas is meant for what? What did we say? Tapas is to purify the body, mind, intellect. So when we say om before doing any tapas, the adhikari is purified, the doer is purified, because the tapa is for my own self, for purification of my own body, mind, intellect. So when I say om and do some tapa, then the adhikari shuddhi is there. Okay. So in yajna, karma is purified. Meaning what? Meaning that karma is now not able to bind me. In dana, I reject the BMI. How do I reject? How do I come to BMI? First, what am I doing? I'm rejecting the objects, dana, right? I give. I don't want this object, so I give. That dana, when I keep doing it with a sattvic bent of mind, will take me to the realization that the body also is not mine. It is not mine. It is to be rejected. In the ultimate analysis, body has to be negated. Body, mind, intellect, all three have to be negated. So that is the first step. That's why a parigraha is given. First of all, we keep hoarding things for the body. We'll never be able to let go of the body. First, we have to be able to let go of the things that we are holding. And that is to lead to that. Dana is the first step. And in tapa, the doer itself, himself or herself is purified. Because the mind intellect has to be extremely purified to gain this knowledge. So when we associate Om Tat Sat with yajna, dana and tapa, associate means what? Om. See, I told you this in many other classes, anything that I write now, I put Om on top. And actually I started it with faith also, I told you, because I saw Guruji doing it all the time, even in his emails. And I just started doing it. And then I came. So when you start with faith, faith acts in the realm of ignorance. See, we are ignorant. We don't know the scriptures. So what we do is we have faith in our guru, teacher, whoever, elders, parents, whatever. So in that realm of ignorance, there is blind faith. Why blind faith? Because knowledge is not there. Okay. So you have the faith and you start associating this Om Tat Sat with whatever that you do. All right. Because you don't have the knowledge, but you do want liberation. But you don't have knowledge of the scriptures. This chapter is about a person who doesn't have the knowledge, but has faith. Okay. Now this person is of a sattvic bent of mind. Why? Because the words mumukshubhi were used and brahmavadinam were used. So if he's a desirer of liberation, he has to be of a sattvic bent of mind. Now such a person having no knowledge, having faith, having a sattvic bent of mind, so sattvic faith, does yajna associating Om Tat Sat with it. Either Om, to make it easy, let me tell you, just stick to Om. You don't have to do Om Tat Sat also. Easy, Om. Yajna, then you do for the sake of the Lord. That is what is happening there. Karma is getting converted into Karma Yoga. Okay? So when you do it for the sake of the Lord, then what happens? That karma gets purified. Means what? Means that karma is now not able to bind you. Why? Because when you convert karma into karma yoga, you are reducing doership and enjoyership. The less the doership, the less the bondage. No doership, no bondage. Bhagavan said, Name karmani limpanti. No karma can ever taint me. Why? Because there is no doership. I have no doership when I do actions. So when you associate Om Tat Sat with yajna, this will be the result. Your attention should be on this result and not on the external result. And a person with a sattvic bent of mind, his attention will be on the internal purification more than the external gain. Okay. Then Om Tat Sat, you associate with dana, charity, gift, giving of gifts. Then you give it for the sake of the Lord. Understanding also that whatever I have is given by the Lord only. So really nothing is mine. It is given by the God. And we have in the bhajan, in the that aarti, na, the Om Jai Jai, Tera Tujhko Arpan. Yours, this is yours. I'm giving, because the person standing in front of me is also God only. So Tera whatever is yours only, I'm giving. So when you start practicing that attitude, ultimately you'll realize that the body is also not yours. Because first you're doing objects, which is the world. You'll come to realize that the body also is world. Body is not you. Body is not self. Body is the not self. The self is possessing the not self. That not self will be this thing. So dana, you know, associating Om Tat Sat with dana. And then when you associate Om Tat Sat with tapa, which is meant for a purification of the body. We saw in detail what tapa says of the sharirik tapa we saw, where everything is done to overcome the tamasic aspect of the body. Body is made out of tamas. It is very prone to laziness, sleepiness, and inadvertence, and we want to get rid of that. So we are purifying the body, mind, intellect, equipment. So adhikari shuddhi is happening. Karma shuddhi is happening. Intention shuddhi is happening in dana, purity of motive. And then there is a purity of the doer himself or herself. Adhikari shuddhi. Okay? So yajna, do for the sake of the Lord, karma bandhan is rejected. Dana, give for the sake of the Lord, so that the world is ultimately devalued. We start with devaluing our objects, and the aim is to devalue the entire world, and world includes the body, mind, intellect. So ultimate, that is the goal in dana. And tapa is to purify the doer and qualify him for the knowledge of the truth. Okay, for seeking of the pure consciousness. So what Bhagwan is saying in short here, you don't have knowledge, no problem. This is the correct answer to that question. Now Bhagwan is answering. You don't have knowledge, no problem, but have faith. And that faith has to be sattvic. And if you have sattvic faith, and with that faith, you do, and then suppose that thing is done wrong. Suppose I'm doing a puja, 16-step puja, but I do it wrong. Doesn't matter. Bhagwan says, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I will accept. Therefore, the conclusion is faith is greater than knowledge. Please remember, best is to have knowledge and have faith. Okay, that is the best. Okay, but I don't have the knowledge. Have faith, because I told you previously also, if you have that faith, you start with blind, all seekers start with blind faith only. Suddenly, we are not Bhagwan Shankaracharya that at 8 he just had the knowledge. We are not like that. Okay, so we start with blind faith, we end up in knowledge. That faith will take you into knowledge. I gave you my own thing, it hit me that I'm writing om, om, om just because Guruji was writing, and now Bhagwan is saying, you do it with, now I got the knowledge. Now I got knowledge of the scripture, that the scripture is saying, do it. That's why I do it. So have faith. Faith is very, very, very important. That's why Bhagwan already said this, human beings, we are all full of faith only. We have faith in our investment. We have faith in the house. We have faith in, you know, our car and our job and our, how many things we have faith in. Our intelligence. I'm intelligent enough. I think I can do it. I'm strong enough. I think I can lift this. So we are full of faith. It is not that faith is not there. Problem is, what type is it? That needs to be evaluated. And again, this chapter is not for evaluating other people, our own type of faith. When I convert that faith into sattva, and when I say om, and then I do, and maybe that doing is wrong. Valmiki, he could not even say Ram, he was saying Mara. What? On the basis of faith alone, right? Narad Bhagwan told him, faith, what did he know? He was a dacoit, a killing people. What did he know? He did not know any scriptures. Nothing he knew, just on the basis of faith. So therefore, Bhagwan here, very clearly, faith is more important than knowledge. So when we have faith, and this is what the three, this thing. So when we say it is purifying the karma and the karta both, the doer and the action itself. Because ultimately, if you analyze, tapa also is falls under action. Na? Like if I fast or if I, that is also falling under action. Dan also is falling under action because I'm giving something. And this yajna also is falling under action. So ultimately, all three are actions. So we need faith and we associate om with that. Om tat sat or om. Om is easy. So whatever. One thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about this, and I did tell you that everything that I write, I put an om on it. And the reason that it came to my mind, I had to write something for a Caucasian friend of mine. And suddenly, you know, because now it's become like a second thing with me, I started to write om. And then I said, she will wonder what is this. So I didn't write. So I know because there are doctors in the audience and you're writing prescriptions probably left, right, and center. Not that I expect you to write om on every prescription, but if it comes to your mind, that's enough. But if you do it on other things, it'll come to your, if you don't do writing om on your, say, grocery list or to-do list or some other list at home, it'll never come. So when I wrote those things for her, I thought om, and even that is enough. But writing is a gross practice, so do with, it's easier. So start with that. And then there will be certain things where you can't write. You will not, you're writing an official letter to somebody, you can't just write om there. I mean, Guruji is okay because it is coming from Guruji, then every letter he can write om. But for us, we may write some official letter to somebody. But if you just think, it'll come to your mind. And then say, oh, okay, no need to write, but I said om. So very, so easy, see? Very easy. Now, next one. Any questions so far? Okay.
Yadne tapasidane cha sthiti saditi chochate karma chaiva tadarthiyam saditeva bhidhiyate.
Steadfastness in sacrifice, austerity and gift is also called sat. And also action in connection with these for the sake of the Supreme is called Sat. So Sat means the steadfastness, Bhagwan is saying, means what? If you have faith, you will have steadfastness. Just knowledge may not give you steadfastness. And we see that in our this thing. How many people know that exercise is good? How many people are steadfast in that? Right? So just knowledge, it may not give you, but faith will give you that steadfastness. So Om Tat Sat, Sat Bhagwan is saying, it is, you will remain, you will continue to do it because it is hard. Tapas is hard, but you will have that. And as the mind becomes more and more sattvic, it will become more and more firm that this is what I want to do. This is what I should not be doing. This is good for me. The Shreya Prayer Vivek becomes very easy when the mind is sattvic. What is pleasing to me? Immediately it'll come. No, I'm doing this for the senses. I really shouldn't be doing this. It'll come. And just change your mind, increase sattva in the mind. Then that once the Shreya Prayer Vivek comes, na, it's very easy. Because immediately it'll come. No, this is not good. This is pleasant. I shouldn't be doing this. And once in a while, you can do it. 80-20 rule follow, I told you. 20% of the time, but 80% of the time, you need to go for good. You cannot go for 80% pleasant and 20% good. You know, that cannot be there. And that too, I'm, because we are on the path, I'm giving you the 80-20, okay? The sannyasis and all, they just do 100% of it. We are not in that state. So this steadfastness has to, so the steadfastness, follow the 80-20 rule. And you'll be steadfast for 80% of the time. All right?
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayata asaddityuchate partha nachatapretya no iha.
Whatever is sacrificed, given, or performed, and whatever austerity is practiced without faith, it is called asat. O Partha, it is not for here or hereafter, after death. Neither here nor there. It's exactly the same like the verse 26, where Bhagwan said in chapter 16, Bhagwan said, the person has knowledge, but no faith. Neither will he get material prosperity, nor will he get spiritual evolution. He's saying that again now in a positive way. The one who does not have faith does not get material prosperity or spiritual evolution. Either. So what is more important than faith? That's why we see faith as the in Shat Sampati. First qualification of a spiritual seeker is faith. Extremely important. And I've given you the example of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Only faith. He could not even read. He was illiterate. Nisargadatta Maharaj was illiterate BD worker living in the slums of Bombay. His guru told him, soham, that's it, you are that, finish, faith. Look where he reached. Every time we are taking his name now, out of respect, out of love. Faith has taken him. Knowledge, the problem sometimes with knowledge is it gives ego. That's the problem. I know so much. I've attended so many yajnas. I knew Gurudev. I met Gurudev in 51. Yeah, but how much are you practicing? So ultimately, the answer of the question, this finally he has answered it. Arjun asked it in number one verse. Now 28th verse, Bhagwan is, he could have said that directly over there. But no. He explained everything. So the question is of a person who has no knowledge, but has faith. And Bhagwan says, if he has faith, he will get material prosperity as well as spiritual man, because that faith will lead him into knowledge. Because ultimately, knowledge is required for spiritual emancipation, but faith will lead him into there. Faith will take him there. Okay? So, any questions? Very beautiful chapter. I really enjoyed it myself.
Jayaji.
Yes.
When we say the